Today on Yard Info, the lighter side of Jamaican news, June 3, 2010. The Contractor General versus the government. West Indies woes. Caribbean cricket decline. Who will fill the void? Extortionists seek to take over where the president left off. Bye-bye, Shahini. Yet another by-election looms.
Thank you very much, Nicole. The wonderful Nicole is back with us.
Yes, we missed you, Nicole.
Oh, you
did. Yeah, we did.
This is Andrew Hewitt here with Johnny.
In the building.
Yeah. Tired after a long, long night last night at Johnny Raw, his last performance. But it was a great performance.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. It certainly was.
It was really good.
So we have lots of things to talk about this week.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks we've been stuck on one topic.
We had to go in hiding after our last podcast.
I'm glad I wasn't here then.
In fact, we passed some soldiers outside today when I was driving, and I was wondering if they actually come for you, Andrew. No, for real, because you know. You're the podcast, man. I'm the comedian.
You see, when it all comes down to it, everybody's gonna say Andrew's the podcast man.
Yeah, there's no seminar no sense. There's no sense I could never cook up something like this.
Well, listen, the first topic we want to cover,
yeah.
I've actually wanted us to address for 2 weeks now, and of course, with all that's been happening in the island.
Distracting it from this subject matter.
Yes, other things basically took precedence, but our Contractor General, Greg Christie.
Yes.
He has been at odds with the government
mm-hmm.
for some, as I said, 2 to 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Regarding the sale of the government's Jamalco stake.
Right.
To a Chinese company, Zhuhai Hongfan. That's the name of the company. And they're doing it through a third party.
No, pronounce the company again. Yeah, yeah. For the rest of the podcast, just a Chinese company.
The Chinese company.
Actually, China.
And they're doing it.
They'll
be selling it through. And this is where I think they are, the Contractor General, who I believe, by the way, I'd like to write here, nominate Mr. Greg Christie for Prime Minister of Jamaica.
Oh, a tough job. A very, very tough job.
He keeps doing it. He's one of the more admirable public officials.
Yeah. Nobody talk too fast in Jamaica, though. I mean, respect the dog, mm-hmm. like the work you had, Papa.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid to talk about public officials.
Okay.
Never know.
But mm-hmm. after a while, they all...
You never know, mm-hmm. man.
Mm-hmm. Port Reliant.
Yeah.
This is a middleman company, apparently.
Yes.
That will be, or should be, handling the deal between the government of Jamaica and the Chinese company.
Well, we need a middleman.
Apparently.
We need a middleman.
Apparently.
The
no,
government
no.
have enough people in the entire company.
Listen, remember Manat Phelps and Phillips.
Yeah, that's my middle people.
We need
enough middle people.
That's right.
We have a middleman.
And
so what's the Minister of Industry and Commerce there for?
They will have a ministry.
Oh.
The ministry need a middleman to deal with you. Yeah.
That's right. The Contractor General has raised concerns with regards to this company, company he has stated over and over again he knows nothing about. He has made requests to find out about their history.
Is there a company of registrars that you can go to find out about that company?
Not easily for us when it's registered in the British Virgin Islands.
Oh.
And this is also another mm-hmm. area of concern.
Oh.
In his own words... And this is something that really struck me. The OCG reminded the country that it was on record in warning against an emerging and potentially dangerous and corruption-enabling trend.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's seen. When you have these companies being formed internationally to act as middlemen.
Right.
These kind of business dealings can enable corruption on the part of the government. And they also can bring into question, conflicts of interest. When you're wondering who is behind this company, they still have not divulged who is behind the company, so we don't know who will be benefiting from the company.
So it could very well be a Jamaican.
In terms of benefits, and you're right, it could very well be Jamaican. And this was one of the things he was worried about.
Yeah.
A letter was sent to him to say that letter had a Hong Kong address. And this is a letter that stated that the company is based in the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
It was sent by one. Now, remember, what did I say? It's a, It's a Chinese company.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying.
So when you say Chinese company, the kind of name you're expecting, the full name
is Zhang Huaihe.
Ah, right. Good. So the letter itself was sent by, I think, one Joseph Chang.
Joseph Chang. A regular Chinese name, but a Jamaican man.
Exactly.
Right. I'm saying that's a real Chinese man down there, Zhuang Zhuang Ho.
Right.
So,
yeah. Joseph Chang. Is
so, like, our Chinese man.
And yeah, man. Mr. Chang has challenged the jurisdiction of the OCG in this matter.
Oh.
He's the one who stated that it's a British Virgin Islands company.
Mm-hmm.
The value of this deal, we're talking about somewhere in the region of US $600 million. Of which Port Reliant stands to gain 1.5%. Sounds small, don't it?
It sounds a little bit. But
1.5% works out to approximately $9 million, which is an approximately 800, if my math's not too bad.
Christ.
Million Jamaican dollars. That's almost $1 billion Jamaican dollars for being a middle. No, nobody not for sorry for you, Johnny.
Just for being a middle
just,
man.
Just start a business in the British Virgin Islands, yeah? BVI. Yeah. And And be a middleman for some big government deal.
Well, can I say I applaud Mr. Christie
for
getting involved and for getting involved at this stage.
That's right.
As well. And to question that, so we don't have to be always catching up.
So since this administration did actually campaign on being transparent and open with these dealings. What I mean, this was the government that exposed the traffic guru. You know what I mean? So we're talking about exposure. We don't expect these things to be held back or there to be any glitches.
It's
so what is the
ironic.
Government saying
it's
about
quite
this
ironic
thing? They giving information?
The Ministry of Energy and Mining put out a media release.
Okay, about the whole thing.
Yes.
Good.
No, not good.
What do you mean?
Mr. Christie had to respond to that media release. To say that all they were trying to do was to obfuscate or basically to put up smoke screens.
So then put out a media release to say nothing?
Basically, the media release was saying that everything is on the up and up and Mr. Christie seems to be making a mountain out of a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
we have to applaud him for being resolute in this thing, you know, because he has decided that he's not going to back down on this issue.
You know, I'm realizing, you see, that perspective is a hell of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mountain for the JLP is really, you know, or a molehill for the JLP is really probably a mountain.
Mountain for some of us.
Yes, like not being sure whether you're speaking in the capacity of Prime Minister or leader.
And
the
it's
JLP.
Ironic that you're raise the issue of transparency. We'll probably move on to the next topic soon, but there were five major concerns of Mr. Christie.
Right.
Transparency being one of the key problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other is that he doesn't, because this contract was not put out for a competitive bid.
Right.
We're not sure that the Jamaican taxpayers getting value for money. So yes, US $600 million is a great deal of money that we'll be getting, but if it was put out to a competitive bid, we could be getting more.
Mm.
Exactly.
Right? Also, having no knowledge of Port Reliant, its ownership structure, especially the beneficial owners, and he's been clear on that, and their past dealings, we don't know what kind of entity is this that we're dealing with. So he has raised some legitimate concerns, which the government seems to be trying to hopscotch around.
But Mr. Christian, one boy, we're taking people, man. Yeah,
and this man has the experience in the industry because he worked with Kaiser as their legal person in international dealings, in international contracts.
Okay.
So he knows very, very much about alumina dealings on an international level.
Is there any way that members of the public can rally around these persons like Mr. Christie?
Andrew, you must have
give support.
How
can we to effect change?
In his bid to find
how
out
can
the
you do
about
that?
These things.
You're putting me on the spot. But I will say, and we'd like to make it known, there are a couple of things in the works for Yard Info. We're trying to get some legal eagles, constitutional lawyer, as well as someone who, because we're not going to leave this whole Manat Phelps and Phillips thing alone. We want someone who has experience with extradition cases, who can explain to us, for instance, why the government would have been asking the U.S. Department of State for more details. For instance, the identification of the witnesses.
Yeah.
I personally think, from someone who doesn't have legal experience, that this was highly improper.
And having not gotten it, why didn't sign it?
Nothing has changed, and nothing yet we has have changed no decided to sign it. I mean, we're not going to leave this alone.
Yeah,
and
no,
so,
no, this is a topic you can't leave alone.
Yeah,
not when the man is at large.
Exactly. So we're going to basically get some people who have the expertise, who can tell us what we, as individuals, can do, how we can effect change, how we can, as you say, Nicole, rally around our contractor general. The next topic is
West Indies wars.
We need to tell them more about West Indies.
The decline of Caribbean
cricket. That sum up West Indies performance right now, whatever they write on the future. Honestly,
their performance the past 11 years.
When we get suspended, Suleiman Ben. No other name than Lord.
should I get suspended? That
name, them first movie you and put an eye. Suleiman Ben. Honestly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For those who aren't aware, the Suleiman Ben is a bowler for the West Indies who was sent off. And this is Johnny, listen, I am not a young chicken.
Okay.
I'm not all at all like you.
No, yeah, you're not all that.
Right, but I have never, I can't recall ever seeing a player being sent off by his captain.
No,
in all the decades I've been watching cricket.
Yes, yes.
You know, some of the listeners of the podcast who have more experience can probably enlighten us.
Did you hear, and I'm just questioning them, and I'm trying to, but did you hear, there was a comment made by, it created a big uproar apparently, by some guy, I don't remember who it was,
if I'm not mistaken,
the West Indies players compared to the other teams, we have the, basically was saying, least educated of all the players in the world.
Not just by some guy. This statement was made by the CEO of the West Indies Cricket Board.
Oh, really?
Oh, my.
Ernest Hillier.
The CEO.
That's right.
He's a whole.
CEO,
what
no,
a
he
whole
didn't.
Of a statement.
Can you imagine? Yeah, but
so,
I mean,
basically, it must have really done this team.
But,
yeah, but it's also a team that
about,
you manage
we're
and
talking,
put out there.
We're talking about honesty.
They're making a try to educate the people in the film.
We're talking about honesty. The
so
man has seen
honest.
It fit to make it clear to West Indians that these are the problems that exist.
Well, look here, that statement is a statement where we really shouldn't just cuss the man about, you know, we have to look at the thing critically.
Exactly.
Because
yes.
I watch in the matches when they play South Africa here now.
Right.
Right? And I'm looking at the man in my bat. I mean, at a point, I'm saying, look, when they realize, say, the run rate. I gallop away from them because they're not making any runs.
So it seems like these are players that playing without using them heads.
And
them
can't check. Them no matter.
There you go.
And them left. Mr. Something. Darren Sammy. I swear to Darren Sammy. Left Darren Sammy there on the pitch by himself. 58. Excellent batting, Darren.
See?
I think Chris Gayle has his speech down pat right now. He says the same thing. Well, you know, we did our best and the guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we just
it's
hope for the next match. It's the same thing. Same
game.
Thing every
them
game.
Them people with GF a theme name and put an F.
So, Mr. Christopher Field and Mr. Suleiman Ben.
No,
know?
But the captain, I mean, we've never had a more losing captain. I can't remember more losing captain than Chris Gayle.
Oh, no, I'm not sure that Richard he has
Johnson.
Lost more than Brian Lara as yet, you know.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Well, listen, it seemed that way. I mean, they've not won a match in the last win.
Dr. Julian Cresser is a cricketologist, if there is such a word. Believe
yes.
me,
okay.
He knows his cricket history.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure he'll be. He's one of the listeners of the podcast, and
oh,
he'll be
okay.
able to write in. By the way, listeners, if you want to get in touch with us, if you say for instance you want to contest some of what we're saying, or just share your own viewpoint. You can contact us via yardinfo@gmail.com. That's yaadinfo@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Check our website, yardinfo.com, or you can add us on Facebook, facebook.com/yardinfo.
Great. Now, the West Indies team, let me tell you what they need. My personal view, Andrew and Nick, is that we should stop playing professional cricket for 2 years. No, and I'll tell you why. Because
yeah,
maybe the CEO...
Please tell us why.
Maybe the CEO...
No, he didn't.
...has a point. And we really need to take the team, that's the A team or senior team, back to school. That is, a lot of them are playing bad. That's bad basic cricket.
Yes,
and
yes,
if you watch,
yes,
when you watch and listen to the commentary, then you can pick up two and two things. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, the fact that they're not moving their feet well, they're not moving within the crease well.
And I mean, even just simple things as they're playing one day right now,
mm-hmm.
but they play even Test cricket like they're playing one day or 2020.
They play the same. It's the same pace. Nobody makes an adjustment.
So if you even make a century in that Test game. You make a quick fire century, you're gone. It doesn't help to stabilize the team.
Right.
And
right.
none of them seem to be thinking long term enough, except for probably Shivner and Chanderpaul.
We've not been able to find an opening pair for the last for, 4 years.
Perhaps correct. Longer than that. Longer, a good opening pair.
A good opening pair. Uh-huh. I mean, Chris Gayle is an opener.
But he's not consistent.
No, but he also needs, you know? Chris Gayle also needs, I think, the kind of partner who is going to score as well as he does, but also settles him as well.
Jamaicans are going to be so upset with me, but Chris Gayle is highly overrated, in my opinion.
Chris Gayle is
exactly. He's one of those who scores a quick fire, high score and just goes.
Yeah.
You know?
True,
nothing to stabilize the team.
True.
And coming from our history with a Gordon Greenidge and a Desmond Haynes, I mean, seriously.
Well, I think that's a good segue into our next point. Who will fill the void?
But not for cricket,
right? But not for cricket.
Right.
Extortionists seek to take over where the president left off.
Bullet!
Nicole, I'm going to, you know, give you some props here. You raised this point very early. You said, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Any of you guys noticed that it seemed like the crime rate dropping in the past week or two?
Let me tell you something. It really dropped. It dropped. It took a pause.
Yeah, but what
happened? But like today, it's gone right back up.
Well, yes.
Two men get shot down on Maxfield Avenue
three.
This morning.
Mm.
Three. You know?
Yeah. And Rodney Road.
Wow. A while ago, I was driving. This happened just like, this was exciting.
Yeah.
I was just driving off Reynolds Road. You know, you took like a Veer Road right there, so near, right near Big Yard Studios, right in front of Big Yard Studios,
okay.
In fact. And yellow tape was spreading out there, so police was kind of
backed
across.
So we're heading right back to square one?
Yeah, so something is going on. And you know, as I said, soldiers was outside this building, so I don't know.
I don't know. Johnny, you just pour a holy bomb.
No, I'm just saying, Jamaica, we're back to normal. That's all I'm saying.
And here
back to
I was
normal.
Looking up and thinking that, listen, wait.
But you think because them find 40 guns in Tivoli, that's all the guns that are out there?
No, but I'm thinking that probably some of these gunmen are in fear right now. They're going to... You know, hold back a little and... But
you know we Jamaicans, right?
We
make adjustments, like, quickly. You know what I mean? Like, once you do something, we adjust quickly, right?
Gosh. And remember, they only have 82 listed communities that they have these pockets in, you know.
And we've only tackled one.
Okay.
That's
seriously.
But to Nicole's credit, earlier in the week, she said, you know, a very valid point, that given the fact that the president has absconded, there is going to be a void... They are going to be, I mean, people talk often about the order that was maintained downtown.
Right.
Some gunmen, there must have been some gunmen in the 73 that died.
Right.
And the president is missing. So, what's going to happen now? We're pretty sure petty criminals and some of those who couldn't get to survive before are going to come forward now and try to fill the gap.
Yeah, I hear where you're going. It would be a travesty
if,
after all the people dead... And after the police have made inroads into Tivoli Gardens and symbolically have destroyed the garrison type, you know, stronghold, what do you call the quintessential model top-down garrison in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a travesty if, after all of that, you take away yourself, don't cement yourself law and order in the community and surrounding communities, and allow petty criminals or other criminals
to just come and
start do the extortionist thing right
back
again.
I get the feeling that we're going to be using this phrase over and over again, decisions without vision. If Nicole saw this coming and other people saw this coming, I would like to think that our government and our security forces would have seen this. Now we're hearing that some entrepreneurs are stepping up and extorting people downtown.
Yeah.
And you know what the police response is? Don't give in to them. They're not there trying to ensure the people's safety and ensure that nobody comes in and tries to be the new Don or the new criminal. Yeah? You know, they're standing to one side and saying, don't give in to them.
And that's what's bothering me about Jamaica. Like, I don't know if we're really serious about policing a city. You know what I mean? Like, I as free as America is or any other first world country is, right? Yes. You are being policed constantly. And there's nothing you can do about that.
Elaborate on policing, though, because people might think policing means just the physical presence.
No. Uh-huh. People don't understand. Like, right. You are being policed constantly, whether it is a CC camera, uh-huh. camera that's on you, that's moving, like you actually see the camera moving where you move, right? If you're a suspect, the camera turns to where anything is happening, like it's an issue. Right. You actually have police posts, not just one post.
Right, right.
Police posts all over the city.
And they're serious about intelligence gathering.
You also have, like I've been in a mall, you don't know those huge malls in America, where the car parks are huge and so on. Mm-hmm. They actually have security posts that go way up in the air.
In
the car park.
What are you saying there?
And so you have symbolic signs, visual signs.
That would deter a criminal.
Right? And I mean, it's not like you go downtown and all this is, you might have one police here or two police here walking past some safe streets. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Orange Street, another big street, King Street. And then when they turn up on a small lane, nobody. You're going to see some people that try to sell and a few thugs on the corner and tell us, yo, mm-hmm. Johnny, you don't know, give me that thing. Another thing, we need to stamp out. There's a mentality in our people that they need to get something. And it's part of the reason why extortion continues to be a way of life for people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I shouldn't work for this. I should get this because it's due to me. You're selling in the market close to my yard, my turf.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever that means, because your yard is your yard and outside of the streets belong to the people. There's that mentality. Oh. So I don't know about you, but personally, one away, this is my personality.
Yes, yes.
If you see me upon the road, Benjamin, no beg me nothing, me not care. No straight, I'm telling you, I decided that, look here, I don't care how you look, me not care where you are. Johnny, if you see me, dog, beg me not care.
That's why the little boy have to say you're mean.
Yeah, man. No, I guess what? Because they need to start to learn that begging is demeaning.
It is something you shouldn't do. Begging is perhaps one of the top industries in Jamaica.
Right now. I mean, people have made an industry out of it. Exactly. The blind man right at the Kennedy, they must say, look how long him did, years now. I don't like to check for him bank book.
And that tall lady there.
I beg him back.
You know that tall woman?
Me I tell you.
Always have that thing on her foot.
Please, I beg you something.
Yes.
Hello.
And you get a proper tracing if you don't give
her. And that's extortion too. Because if you stand there every day begging me, you're extorting me, mama.
Yeah. And they will ask you from anything from a $5 to a $100 to a food stamp if you have it.
I'm telling you.
Listen. Nicole, we're not going to go into that one. One of these days, you know, feel I'm going to take out a swipe machine if you tell them you don't have the money.
No, it's coming. Hey. I can just see it and you pull up and them say, yo, man, you beg your thing. And I say, yo, man, I don't change, you know. And I say, what you have in your pocket?
Plastic.
Plastic you have? All right, hold on.
Cash or credit.
Cash or credit.
Listen, as we talk about the bank, though, do you think the JLP or the PNP have anything in the bank to manage another by-election?
Bank?
You want a bank in your pocket?
First of all, I know the PNP, it doesn't make any sense for the PNP. I'm telling you why it doesn't make any sense for the PNP to go after a by-election right now.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're speaking about Shaheen Robinson. Has been removed.
Booted.
As the MP.
Yes.
In St. Anne.
Northeast
St. Anne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, she's still challenging this in court.
Yeah.
But what it seems like is that there will be a looming by-election.
What I don't understand is, if you're an American citizen, just say you're an American citizen. Like, I don't understand the mystery behind you not saying it, whether you are or not. I don't get that, right? If you are an American citizen, then you really should not be representing the people in parliament. That's it. Jamaican law says that. Mm-hmm. You can't have dual citizenship like that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you represent the people outside of the Commonwealth.
Or as Nicole says, it reeks of duplicity and deception. When you know you are a citizen of another nation and you're challenging this thing in court.
You don't get that. Yes. Not, yes. So if you are, no, but I just say, I am done arguing.
And,
now, if you really love the people and you really want to represent them, and this is where your heart is. Do a Daryl Vass, you know what I mean? Give up the citizenship and not done the argument. But no, she's fighting it fine.
But you were saying that you don't think it makes sense for the PNP.
I don't, and I'm going to tell you why. The JLP has what, 2 more years before they have to pretty much call a general election?
Yeah.
Okay, one, they're not doing very well right now in terms of the public opinion or how the public view them right now, or feel about the JLP in general. That's one. Two, I don't think them have the money. I don't think the country should spend another money trying to campaign millions again, trying to campaign to see if Shaheeni should get back her seat or not. I mean, quite frankly, if you talk to the people on the ground down there in Shaheeni's seat, they're going to tell you they're not seeing nobody on the ground.
But
they can just survive for the next 2 years.
Johnny, if I use your first point, though, the JLP aren't doing too well right now.
They're not.
They're probably at their lowest point right now.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be the opportune time for the PNP to try to strike?
No, because we still got stupid people who met the Prime Minister in Ocho Rios when they went down there for their retreat, all in green, welcoming the Prime Minister, in the middle of the Prime Minister apologizing for his fibbing to the nation.
Yeah.
So I'm saying we still
that's
got I'm trying to put it mildly. But at the same time, we still have fufu people who follow color, not country.
Right.
So you still have, I think the JLP could still spend, all it's going to be spend money. The machinery going to go in place.
Yeah.
JLP going to whip up the forever, spend some money and win back the by-election. Boom, bang,
so,
bang.
I mean, the JLP are reputed to have the same kind of financial problems as the PNP. You know?
Oh, please, man.
When it comes to
campaigning.
They can't
have problems and them get money from their JLP with support to send money to pay for
50,000 US.
Man, that's Phelps and Phillips. They got their money. Yeah. I'm saying, I think it would make sense for the PNP. Because even if they win this seat, they still don't have the majority in Parliament.
But they have
especially to move a no-confidence vote.
They don't.
That's not even getting into that.
Let me tell you something. I don't know. The PNP just did a symbolic thing to try and get this no-confidence vote.
Yeah.
I mean, and they need it. I take it. They needed to say what they had to say. And I think the most important thing of the entire debate, but no confidence, was actually the speeches made by the representatives from the opposition.
And that's why I said what I said earlier about how can we support those members of the public? How can we support those initiatives in Parliament?
How can we move a no confidence vote?
Exactly. Would they invite members of the civil societies to come in and, you know, each one say, well, we support this position or we not support this position, you know?
Are you guys frustrated, though? I mean,
because
the fact that something like that could go through and nothing came of it.
You know what I'm frustrated about, Andrew? Like, I'm frustrated that we elect people to represent us.
Yeah.
But once we elect them, they seem untouchable.
Yes,
exactly.
It's separate and apart from
us.
Exactly.
The system, we're not allowed to play a part in governance anymore.
Exactly.
And
why,
so the power is shifted. We can't do nothing except
exactly
watch them.
Exactly why I want to get a constitutional lawyer in here to tell us if we really are in a hopeless situation once we elect these officials or if there's any recourse.
I suspect not, but I suspect that it's, as you said, we don't have the knowledge of how to get it done.
Right.
And I suspect it would take lots of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect it would take numbers.
If we're serious about it, then we'll get the numbers. I mean, if people are serious about change.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we go back to things exactly as they were before. We're afraid of the gunmen. We're afraid of some policemen. I mean, kudos.
I mean, Shaheena Robinson could easily win back her. I mean, she's in charge of a lot of money right now. I mean, she's
a minister of state in the office of the prime minister.
In charge of the constituency fund.
How ironic. She's in charge of constituency
funding.
Yeah,
she's in charge of the distribution of the constituency fund.
I
think is what, over $200 million to each constituency. Is that right? Oh, sorry, producer. Which is like over $200 million to each constituency.
I have no idea.
In them kind of figures,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, I'm sure, you know, she could just have a mega company.
All right.
Let's not go there.
I'm just saying.
We're gonna wrap up a couple of topics we're hoping we can look at in the future are the crime bills that are being debated in Parliament now.
And of course, to be or not to be, Dudas. Will he be arrested or not?
Yes.
Will he be found or not?
In a world where Dudas cannot be found.
I'm telling you, it's a movie. Mikel, it's a movie at the school.
The Dudas saga continues.
Saga continues. Part two.
Not to mention the $23 million US dollar contract for the widening of the
Boulevard.
The Boulevard, which we understand a certain gentleman is a president for the company.
Oh, yes.
President.
Oh, yes. Yes.
For the company that has that contract.
Okay.
You know, there are many things to discuss.
What happens now?
Yeah.
What happens now is we have the conclusion of our podcast.
Listen, you can get in touch with us at yardinfo@gmail.com. That's yaadinfo@gmail.com. Check our website. You'll find a podcast at yardinfo.com. And add us on Facebook, facebook.com/yardinfo. Follow Johnny on Twitter as well.
Yeah, Johnny Boss.
Johnny Boss, Johnny B-U-S-S. Listen, people.
For those of you who can't spell
that's
Johnny.
That's right, spell it for me, please.
J-O-H-N-N-Y-B-U-S-S.
Yardinfo is also
and
on Twitter.
And Johnny is not short for Jonathan.
No.
Yeah, we needed that bit of information. Thank you very much, Nicole. Thanks again for joining us this week. We hope you'll be back again with us next week on Yardinfo, the lighter side of Jamaica news.
Take care.